It's time for our monthly campaigns catch-up with RNIB in Northern Ireland. Paula Beattie is back with us, and quite a few big topics to get through today, Paula.
There is indeed, Alan, yes, and some updates as well, which I think our listeners would be interested in hearing as well.
Now, I often talk about the cross-party group on visual impairment, which I go along to the Scottish Parliament, and something similar in Northern Ireland as well.
Yes, well, in Northern Ireland here, we have the all-party group on vision impairment up at the Assembly, and RNIB, our secretariat for that all-party group, and indeed we have been for a considerable amount of time, going back years now. So, yes, we had our AGM, and we had a good attendance from us, ourselves and our VI sector colleagues, and happy to say, I suppose, first of all, that as a cross-party group, yes, it's cross-party membership, but all 10 MLAs were re-elected, Alan, as well, which was good for us. We also had a year review, which was really, really positive. The chairperson there has actually described us as one of the most dynamic and successful all-party groups up at the Assembly, which is something, you know, it's a quote from the horse's mouth, if you like. We said this several times, so, and that's been really positive for us because although it's a small group, it is quite effective. So we had a year review. We looked at the impact of the lobbying around the help with healthcare costs within Northern Ireland to bring us back in line with GB there around universal credit and automatic entitlement to help with healthcare costs, which we haven't had here in Northern Ireland for some time. So the all-party group was very, very active in that, and RNIB ourselves were very active and working with our optometry colleagues and our VA sector colleagues as well. And we also talked about the active travel delivery plan in Northern Ireland and the push from the all-party group supported by RNIB and guide dogs in terms of the need for a walking and wheeling strategy to protect the issues for pedestrians. And then we also had a really successful year where we briefed the MLAs in relation to like the TIMS review and the disability strategy. Something I always point out to people really is that all-party groups quite often are an educational forum for MLAs in terms of the input from us within the voluntary sector on some key policy areas. So that was great. We had that year review, and then we look forward to the next two meetings, which will be looking at the post-19 special educational needs provision and also looking at the pedestrian strategy within active travel. So yes, we've quite a lot going on, but glad to see that the AGM went through and we had a very successful year, and looking forward to what will only be a couple of meetings before the old party group then is dissolved in advance of the elections in 2027.
And then you get a little bit of a break and then it begins again, and possibly new MLAs to get used to as well.
The new MLAs to get used to, we don't know who the various ministers will be. Again, we're just waiting to see who will get their seats back, who will lose their seats, and what shifts are maybe in politics. And it's the usual story. But what I can say is that it has been a successful all-party group, and RNIB's role in particular in bringing the involvement for blind and partially sighted people and the issues to the fore is very, very key in that. And thankfully, we have a good working relationship with the chair and the vice chair on those issues as well.
And more success to come as well, Paul, no doubt. Okay, let's look at energy. Is obviously a big thing for everyone at the moment, the cost of energy, affordable energy and so on. But a big thing I know you want to talk about is around home heating oil.
The UK government made an announcement earlier on in the year around support for people with energy prices, particularly given the conflict that's gone on well beyond these days. But in terms of Northern Ireland, the way it works here, Alan, is that we're different in that we have about 65 to 70% reliance on home heating oil, where we know that's very different to GB. So in terms of our own support to vulnerable customers here, the minister did announce in April that there'd be 36.4 million support for vulnerable customers who in the main receive oil. And we are involved as an advisory group, what's really called the Consumer Protection Advisory Group. And that is headed up by the utility regulator and by the Consumer Council, and organisations come together who work with vulnerable customers. So we're on board with that scheme as part of that group. We're wanting to make sure that the scheme, when it comes out at the end of the summer, is completely accessible in terms of the information, the application process, and then on the end in terms of review and how it worked. So basically, it'll be a £100 voucher for all eligible households. And at this stage, we're involved in ongoing consultation around the accessibility of the scheme and the fairness of the scheme. So I thought it was really important to say, look, watch this space, because we're involved in that. We've been involved in the PR side and the promotion when it comes out, and hopefully we will have the right links with the Department for Communities here should there be any issues when the scheme starts to roll out. And indeed, not to be negative on, but there probably will be. And we're very happy that we're involved in having the needs of blind and partially sighted people right in at the beginning of the scheme being developed.
I mean, it's great that there's going to be help there in terms of the support towards energy costs.
Yeah.
But yeah, accessibility, isn't it? It's actually being able to get the information, first of all, in accessible formats, and to make the applications without a hassle as well. That tends to be, as you say, a bit of a stumbling block sometimes.
It can be a stumbling block, obviously, and in terms of Northern Ireland here, because the Home Heat and Oil Scheme, those providers are not regulated, so it's not the same as gas or electricity. So we have an unregulated market. So it's not just, so people are having to apply here, Alan, where they wouldn't have to do across the water. So by applying, then the application process, like there's no register of all those who actually receive home heat and oil. So in those circumstances, the accessibility of the information, the marketing going out, and the scheme itself is extremely important here. And that's why really happy and really good that RNIB are centrally involved in that and have the information in terms of accessibility and be able to, if things go wrong or things aren't going right, that we're able to have a direct connection there with the department. So it's positive news, and we will have more information going out on this scheme as it develops. I mean, it's £100. It's not a lot, but obviously anyone who's on specific disability benefits or who's, certain incomes, and I will say, even if a child in the household, there's just one child receiving DLA, the whole household, for instance, will be entitled to this. So it is very important, and we know prices rise, and the oil in particular is very, very subject to those wider markets, as we know. I mean, we've had people here who, in the space of a few weeks, oil bills doubled. So you're talking about, maybe you used to pay him £300. It jumped within a number of weeks to 600. So it is really quite a big issue for us here, and really, really happy that RNIB are centrally involved in this with the department.
We'll keep checking in with you on that one, Paula. Just finally, at the beginning of the year, we were talking a little bit about a disability strategy for Northern Ireland. Some
Yes.
progress on that?
The consultation is over, and the department, we know, are now looking at the consultation responses that came in. Some of the organisations, including ourselves, have had communication from the minister, because, as I said before, there was some controversy and some negativity, which we fully understand as well as an organisation, and with regards to blind and partially sighted people. But on the positive note, the minister has written out and said that he will be definitely committed to having a Northern Ireland Disability Forum that will be centrally involved in developing and monitoring the action plan for the strategy. And that's a firm commitment and something we're very positive about, because we will definitely be involved there on having blind and partially sighted people represented on that forum and input into the strategy as it develops. And he also has committed to a review of our disability discrimination legislation here in Northern Ireland, which is a bit behind that again across the water, and he's made that firm commitment. So at least we know that two of the areas that we as RNIB were very focused on, that commitment has been made while we await, obviously, the publication of the final strategy.
Depending on who that minister may be next year.
Yes, well, that's the thing, of course, we're waiting until after May 2027, so we know how things can happen. But fingers crossed that at least those commitments that I've just referred to will remain, whether or not it's the same minister. Fingers crossed on that one.
Indeed. Some big topics there, Paula. If people would like to get involved with the campaigns team in Northern Ireland, or perhaps, they'd like to chat to you about
Yeah.
something that's ongoing, what's the easiest way for people to do that?
Well, if they just contact our Northern Ireland Campaigns mailbox, and that is campaignsni at rnib.org.uk, and one of the policy and campaigns team will be able to come back to anyone who gets in touch with us through that email.
We managed to squeeze in quite a lot there, Paula, and we are out of time now, but we will catch up with you again next month. But thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan.